As you all know very well, this celebration of Janmashtami is not something new. How long has it been going on for? 5,000 years. More than 5,000. How much more than 5,000 years? Forever. That is the right reply. Yes. It was a trick question, you could say. Because generally, everyone will say 5,000, 5,100 and something. No, this is eternal. Krishna is eternal. His birth is eternal. His pastimes are eternal. Someone asked me this morning, it's quite a common question, that, well, what about before Krishna appeared? Was there any worship of Krishna? But there isn't really any time before Krishna appeared, because he appeared even in the previous day of Brahma. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam we have, for instance, Prahlad Maharaj coming long before Krishna appeared. He's described as Krishna Graha. Maybe you've heard the term Buddha Graha, someone who's captured by a ghost and they act as if they're mad. So Prahlad was Krishna Graha. He's captured by Krishna and he's acting as if mad. There's difference. Being mad is not very good, but being mad for Krishna, that is very good. Prahlad also said to his father, Matiyana Krishne Paratasvatova. He mentioned Krishna in particular. So this worship of Krishna is ancient. How ancient? It's eternal. It's always new also, because Krishna is always new and fresh. Just like we're having this festival today. What did you do? You chanted Hare Krishna. You worship Krishna. That's what you do every day. But every day it's fresh. This Srila Prabhupada gave this as one example of how we can understand the name of Krishna to be spiritual, because otherwise how could you be enthusiastic to say the same words, and there are only three words in the Maha Mantra. How can you be enthusiastic to say it over and over again and even get up early in the morning when everyone else is sleeping and chant and do it not just as a ritual but with an ever-increasing enthusiasm? It's only possible if it's completely spiritual. As is stated about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing, Gaurange Nritya Nitya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing is eternal. And Nitya also means daily. So every day, eternally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing. Krishna is dancing. And his devotees are dancing. So this is nothing new. People think, oh, Britain has so much rich ancient culture, goes back such a long way, 2,000 years or something. Not even 2,000. No, not even that. Practically the English became the English after the Normans invaded, and then they got merged with the Angles and the Saxons and the Vikings. There wasn't an English people as such. It's only about, let's say, about 1,000 years old, and they say, oh, very great ancient culture. But this culture is timeless, which means that it's old, older than you can imagine, and it's also new, because timeless means it doesn't become decreased by time. So Krishna appeared. He appeared in the heart of Vasudeva, therefore he's known as Vasudeva, and he was transferred to the womb of Mother Devaki, and he manifested himself as Adbhuta Balaka Chaturbhujam, as an astonishing child, baby boy, with four hands. And Krishna, by his appearing in this world, he gave delight to all the devotees. And to the non-devotees, not happy. He is Vasudeva Sutang Devam Kamsa Chanuramardanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadguru. Yeah. He is the delight of Devaki. He is the son, the Supreme Lord, who is the son of Vasudev. But he's also the chastiser, or the pounder. Mardana means to pound. It also means to massage, but he didn't massage them. Chanara, Mushtika. He is the Supreme Lord, the Guru of everyone, who we are to worship, offer respect to. This prayer is composed by Shankaracharya, who is known as an impersonalist, but ultimately he's a devotee of Krishna. He is Lord Shiva, who comes on the order of Krishna with the very unusual task of preaching impersonalism. But there's a reason for that also. But ultimately he's a devotee of Krishna. His influence is still very, very strong in India up to the present day. Everyone, so many people are influenced by this impersonalism. With Shankara, he didn't invent it, but he gave a philosophy to it. This tendency to deny the personality of Godhead, it's inherent in the heart of conditioned souls. They don't want to accept there's a superior authority to them. They like to pray to God for what they can get from him, but they don't want to recognize he's a person, so they have to surrender to him. So it's a great a tendency of the conditioned souls to think of the Supreme as impersonal. And Shankara just gave form, he gave form to that, just see. Yeah. And he propagated that widely, and the effect is still there. But just as Krishna appeared in the mind of Vasudeva and then manifested in this world, although he's transcendental to Vasudeva, Vasudeva is known as the father of Krishna, but actually Krishna is the father of everyone. Pitaham asya jagataha. He's the father of the whole universe. So Srila Prabhupada manifested his great love for Krishna in the form of bringing Krishna to this world, here in England, as Gokulananda, as Landanishwara, as Jagannath. Subhadra also came. It's also Subhadra's birthday today. So Srila Prabhupada manifested Krishna in this world, and in the form of his Krishna's teachings, received through Srila Prabhupada, this Bhagavad Gita as it is, it's non-different from Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. And practically, this movement, Srila Prabhupada said, is non-different from Krishna. And practically we're seeing in India in particular that the Atma Rama verse is still true. Atma Ramas Chamunayo Nigranta Apyarukrame Kurvantya Haitu King Bhaktin Itam Bhuta Guno Hare He. Shukadev Goswami, he was fully satisfied in himself. He's given as an example. He's Atma Rama, fully satisfied in himself. And a great Muni, a great self-realized person. He was completely beyond all rules and regulations, Nigranta. But still, he is attracted, he became attracted by hearing of the wonderful qualities of Krishna, who performs amazing activities, Arukrama. So we're seeing that at the present time in India also, that the Mayavadis are also becoming devotees. You notice that also? It's quite noticeable that the Mayavadis are more and more talking about bhakti. Anyway, what are they going to talk about? Aham Brahmasmi, Brahmasmi Aham, Soham. There's nothing to talk about. I was at the Arda Kumbh Mela in Prayag, in 1989. And one evening I thought I'd wander around the pandals, see what all these people are saying. There's one huge pandal with some Shankaracharya. There's so many Shankara. In North India, there's so many people call themselves Shankaracharya. In South India, there are only two in South India who take that title. And they're also, both of them say there should be only one. They're fighting with it. Not much fighting. So I saw a huge, and I listened, and I thought, oh, he's speaking very nicely. Talking about Draupadi, Krishna manifested to protect her. So this is very nice. It's very good. He's talking about bhakti. We have to have, and then he ended his lecture. All this talk about bhakti and Krishna, and he ended his lecture by saying, and you should all understand that you are the same God. All it was just like nectar with a little drop of poison at the end to spoil it all. Therefore, avaishnava mokhodgirnam putam hari katamritam shravanam naiva kartavya sarpochishta yathapaya. Milk is just like nectar. Not today. For us, for Krishna. But if there's a little drop of poison mixed with it, it becomes all poisonous. So in the same way, the nectar of Krishna Katha, if it's mixed with the poison of Mayavad, then it doesn't nourish us. Milk nourishes us, but if it's mixed with the poison of Mayavad, then it doesn't nourish, it destroys us. So hearing from non-devotees is just like that. So this Krishna consciousness attracts even Mayavad, and we're going to see more and more and more how by the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books and the whole bhakti movement in India also, Vrindavan was dead. The atmosphere was quite dead before Srila Prabhupada established the Krishna Balaram temple. Now it's very lively, maybe not in all ways, in the best of ways, because where there's bhakti, there's money also. People come, merchants come. So Vrindavan has become quite commercialized. We should be very careful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned us in the practice of bhakti. Labh puja pratishta. Don't become attracted by money, position, respect. Because these come with bhakti. Krishna, he's full of all opulences. And if we worship Krishna, then he may give us opulences. But we shouldn't be distracted by material opulences. But we're seeing in India, the Mayavadis, they're becoming more and more attracted to Krishna because Krishna is manifesting himself, just as he manifested himself from the heart of Vasudev. So he manifested from the heart of Srila Prabhupada. And that attractiveness of Krishna is attracting more and more Mayavadis. But this attraction, again, it's nothing new. It's there within the heart of every living being. And so many great devotees have worshipped Krishna. I mentioned Shankaracharya. We generally don't think of him as a devotee of Krishna. But he is. He's Lord Shiva. So those who worship Lord Shiva, indirectly they worship Krishna. The worshippers of different demigods. What's that? Yo, yo, yang, yang, chanang, bhakta, shraddhaya, chadana, mitchati, tasya, tasya, chalang. No, that's a different verse. What's that verse? Tasya, radhana, mihate. Mayaiva, vihitan, hitan. It's Krishna says, I don't remember the whole verse just now. Krishna says that those who worship different. Yopi, anya, devata, bhakta. Yeah, I just said that. It's the wrong verse. Those who worship different demigods, Krishna says, they worship me, but avidhi purvakam, not according to the proper system. So they worship Lord Shiva, but they, even though he's a great Vaishnava, sometimes devotees ask that, they say, well, if you worship a Vaishnava, then that's even better than worshipping Vishnu, according to Lord Shiva, who says, Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnur aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarjanam. He says that of all forms of worship, worship of Vishnu is the best. because some people say Shiva's worship is the topmost. Some people say that Sai Baba's worship is the topmost. That's a new thing. That'll be forgotten soon, and then some other Baba, Bapa, whatever will come up. There are so many of them. Some people say Vishnu, but Lord Shiva himself says that worship of Vishnu is supreme. But he says even above that is worship of the Vaishnava. And Lord Shiva, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, he's the greatest Vaishnava. So you could say then it's better to worship Shiva than to worship Krishna. But that the worship of Shiva, in which one thinks that Shiva is supreme with this misconception, that is not the proper way to worship. So those who do so don't directly get the benefit of worshipping a great Vaishnava, because they take him to be supreme. So therefore, part of the worship of Krishna is not simply offering fruits and flowers and singing, but part of the worship of Krishna, or the best worship of Krishna, is to inform people that Krishna is supreme, not anyone else, preaching Krishna consciousness, as Srila Prabhupada did, against all misconceptions. I have a book about that, on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service, because it's relatively easy to worship Krishna. It's relatively easy to present what we might call the nice side, but then to grapple with people's misconceptions, to tell them that no, actually that's not true. Shiva is not supreme. They will say, you'll find the demigod worshippers, yeah, that's not so easy. But the easy path is not the best path. Those who struggle for Krishna, those who go through difficulties, they become more dear to Krishna. As we find, the great devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam are described, most of them, they became known as great devotees because of what they went through for Krishna, like Prahlad, Dhruva, Ajamil, he's a little different kind of devotee, but he had to go through difficulty to attain Krishna. Ambarish, the gopis, the greatest example. They were always living under the threat of their family members. So they went through so many difficulties. Hanuman, who would have known Hanuman was a great devotee of Lord Rama if he didn't struggle and fight? So that is also required. That's a very common misconception, that you'll find on this Janmashtami that Shiva is supreme. You'll find on this Janmashtami day that all Hindus will worship Krishna on Janmashtami. But many of them will worship thinking, well, actually Shiva is supreme and Shiva is superior to Krishna. So their worship of Krishna is not proper, avidhi purvakam. Or there are those who worship Durga, and they think that Vishnu is subordinate to Durga. So they also worship Krishna on this day. But their conception is wrong. That Krishna says, Mame sarvadhaman parityaja mame kam sharanam braja. Surrender to me utterly, giving up all other kinds of worship. Now we, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who are practicing Krishna consciousness, we will also worship demigods. Not in a regular way, but if we're going past a temple, you don't find so many in this country, but in India we find so many temples of Durga and Shiva, and we'll go there also. We don't do regular daily puja, but if there's some temple, we may go. And we worship, how do we worship all these different deities? We worship Lord Shiva by the verse from Brahma Sanghita, Kshiranya, well, Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha, we can say to Shiva, but Kshiranyata Dadivikara Vishesha Yogat Sanjayate Nahitata Pritagasti Hitoho Yashambutamapitata Samapaiti Karyat Govindamadi Purusham Tamahamajami. We worship Lord Shiva as being different and non-different from Krishna. Just as yogurt is only milk, but it's been transformed. It's only composed of milk, but it's been transformed. So Lord Shiva, like that, we understand he is nothing but Krishna, but in a different form. But at the same time, milk is milk and yogurt is yogurt. So there we have difference and non-difference. So in this way, devotees, they have a very clear understanding of everything. One thing we find from Srila Prabhupada's books, everything is clear, isn't it?
Yes.
Whereas Hinduism in general, everything is unclear, and they think that's a good quality. That everything is mystical and unclear, and you can think what you like, and everything's all the same. But that's not a fact, as we learn from Srila Prabhupada, that there is, it's very clear from Bhagavad Gita, if we accept it as it is, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is why we celebrate Janmashtami. But others may celebrate, but without that clear understanding. So, that is our great good fortune, that we're worshipping Krishna, but it's not only with the fruit and the flowers and the incense and the arati, but because Srila Prabhupada has given us the clear understanding of who is Krishna, then that worship will please Krishna considerably more. It's in a different level to those who worship Krishna with misconceptions, who think that, well, we're worshipping Krishna, but he's subordinate to Shiva, or subordinate to Durga, or subordinate to Sai Baba, or whatever they think. Mostly people, they don't think. That's a big problem. Srila Prabhupada's books are meant for people who want to know what is reality, what is the truth. Most people are not interested. So on this day, many people, more than usual, will come to the temple. So it's an opportunity to enlighten them about what is actual reality. This is not our speculation. It's not something that we dreamed up. Just as Krishna is eternal, worship of Krishna is eternal. So Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita, they are eternal. It's not some Hindu idea that evolved, there were some apes running around, and then one of them turned into Charles Darwin's grandfather, and then some of them became Hindu apes, and some became British apes, and then they called them Homo sapiens, and there was evolution of culture, and some people rubbish, kick them in the head with boots, as Srila Prabhupada used to say. All rubbish ideas. Krishna is eternal. Worship of Krishna is eternal. We are eternal. Our eternal position is to serve Krishna. And if we don't accept that, then we are nityabaddha, eternally in this material world. So this knowledge needs to be put out. Now, one of the... I was saying how Shankara, he also worships Krishna. Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam. This is one of the good evidences that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he is accepted as such by great acharyas who have shown that the actual message of the Vedas is Krishna Bhakti. As Krishna himself states, actually, we don't need to study so many Vedas and Puranas to understand the truth. Everything is there, at least in basic form, in Bhagavad Gita. So instead of studying all the Vedas, which we can't do anyway because we don't know Sanskrit, if you get born again, you could be enrolled in a Gurukul and learn Sanskrit at a young age. But mostly, first of all, the boys, when they learn a Veda, they just memorize one Veda or two Vedas or three or four. I don't think anyone nowadays... They just memorize it. They don't know what it means. But they, first of all, they just memorize it. And then later they may have some teaching as to what is the meaning of the Vedas. The meaning of the Vedas nowadays is mostly, practically all, through the Vedanta schools, which means those who study the Vedanta Sutras, and they're divided into two main groups, or actually just two groups, not main or unmain. The impersonal followers of Shankaracharya and the Vaishnava followers, mostly those who are big on the and studying the Vedanta Sutras among Vaishnavas, they're the followers of Madhva. Well, first came Ramanujacharya, then Madhvacharya. So they study in great depth, and even up to the present day, there are debates between the impersonalists and the personalists. But we can't even understand the things they're talking about. They talk in Sanskrit. Srila Prabhupada gave us Bhagavad Gita as it is. And he would iterate this line, Vedaischa sarveraham eva vedya. What you may learn by studying the Vedas in many, many lifetimes and being a great scholar, you might not learn it also. You might be a great scholar and not find Krishna. Dhane jane pandite krishnere nahi pai. By wealth, by popularity, by scholarship, these are not the qualifications to attain Krishna. Kebal bhakti bosh, Chaitanya Gosai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna, becomes subjugated to the devotion of his devotees. So there we have it. Not only are we not capable of studying all the Vedas, we're not even qualified for that. You may think, well, these mlecha white bodies, they're not qualified, but all of you are also, from the Vedic perspective, mlechas, because you crossed over the ocean to the land of the mlechas. So you're just as bad as me. But by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, you're all much better than all these big Vedic pundits who don't know Krishna. Because you simply have to accept. Vedaischa sarveraham eva vedya. In all the Vedas, Krishna is to be known. Veda means knowledge. And the ultimate or only real object of knowledge is Krishna. And to know him is to love him. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvang pravartate iti matva vajante mang buddha bhava samanvitaha. Krishna says, I am the source of everything material and spiritual. Everything comes from me. The learned persons who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service with all their heart. So to know Krishna is to love him. That is the actual message of the Vedas. Vyasadeva compiled so many shastras. He gathered all the shastras, put them in order, edited them, gave some of that work to his disciples. He personally composed Mahabharata and Vedanta Sutras, and still he wasn't satisfied. Until Narad, his guru, told him, of course you're not satisfied. You didn't specifically describe about Krishna. No one can be satisfied. All the Vedas put together without specific knowledge of Krishna, then what is that? Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhava varjitam. Na shobate jnanam alang niranjanam. Kutapuna shashvada bhajam ishvari. Na charpitam karma yadapyakaram. Karna. Even if one works completely selflessly in this world, or even if one has great knowledge of all the scriptures, without achuta bhava of feeling loving devotional service for Krishna, it's not nice. Na shobhate, not very nice, not very good. Yeah. So what to speak of fruitive activities, even if one is very elevated but not Krishna conscious, that's not very good. So what to speak of fruitive activities, which are always transient and causing trouble? So Vyasadeva, he ultimately compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is his topmost contribution and which clearly delineates Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that also cannot be understood simply by scholarship. We find in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there was one great scholar in Navadvip called Devananda Pandit, who was a great scholar. He taught Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very angry at him. Why is that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was angry at someone who was explaining Srimad Bhagavatam because he explained it in a non-devotional way. So Bhagavatam describes, particularly establishes, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. And we find Srila Prabhupada presented Srimad Bhagavatam. First of all, he gave a synopsis of the pastimes and teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revealed the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam was there, but the essence of Bhagavatam, pure loving devotion to Krishna, especially Boroja Jubotir Bhavera Bhakati, the loving feelings for Krishna of the damsels of Vrindavan and Radha Mahima, Prema Rasa Shima, the glories of Srimati Radharani, which is the ultimate limit of pure love of God. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed that. It's not in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is in Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't find the name of Radha in Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed this. So, Lord Shiva, he also understands this. Advaita Acharya, aham vedmi shuko veti, vyaso veti na vetiva. He said, quite astonishingly and controversially, that he said, I know, Shuka Rishi, Shukadev, he knows. Vyasadev, not quite sure whether he knows or not the deepest import of the Bhagavatam. Bhaktya, what is that? Bhaktya Bhagavate Grahyam. Namedhya Nachartikaya. Bhagavatam is to be understood through bhakti, not through namedhaya, not through intelligence, nor even by studying so many commentaries. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revealed all this, that bhakti, which was being promoted by Ramanujacharya. He opposed Shankara and established that Vishnu is supreme. And Madhvacharya, even more strongly, opposed Shankara. They accepted bhakti in Dasya Rasa, worshipping Krishna in the mood of a servant. Of course, in Udupi, Madhvacharya installed the deity of this boy, Balgopal. But his philosophy is in the mood of service. But yet we find that those within these sampradayas, even though they say philosophically they accept that Vishnu is supreme, the original form is Vishnu, which in one sense is correct. It's not totally incorrect. But if we accept from the platform of Aishvarya, of seeing the greatness of God, then we can accept Vishnu as supreme, because he manifests that bhav of the relationship between Narayan and his servants is one of, it's very much like that. The Supreme Lord and his subordinate loving servants. But with Krishna, and this is the special gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhurja Bhagavatasha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the essence of God's being God is his sweetness. So from the platform of opulence and majesty and bowing down to God, from that perspective, yes, Vishnu is supreme. And from the platform of pure love of God, where you can live with God, play with him, dance with him, steal his food, and so on, then it's sweetness. But then you don't think he's God at all. So it's theology beyond theology. It's something completely amazing. So Vyasadev, he manifested the Bhagavatam, which is eternal. But the message of Bhagavatam was partially propagated by devotees, great acharyas, Ramanuja, Madhvacharya especially, Vishnu Swami, we don't have so much information about. But we find that they also, they particularly were attracted to Krishna. You'll find within that sampradaya that all the in the Sri Vaishnava sampradaya, before Ramanuja, the Alvas, they all glorified Krishna. Krishna's pastimes, they're so sweet and so expansive. There's so much, we don't have, for instance, so much even information about the pastimes of Vamanadev, Nrisimhadev. Even Lord Rama's pastimes are not as extensively described as those of Krishna. So Krishna is all attractive, even to the worshippers of Vishnu, and even as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed, to Vishnu himself, and even to Krishna himself, which is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came because he is Krishna, finding himself so attractive that he wants to relish. He sees all his devotees, especially Radharani. They find such great happiness in worshipping Krishna. They relish the beauty of Krishna. They find such happiness in that. But I can't get the happiness that they're getting because I am Krishna. Their happiness is in me, but I can't get that because I am Krishna. So Krishna forgets that he's Krishna. How great is Krishna? Love of him is so great that Krishna himself wants to relish the love of himself. But he can't do that as long as he's in the position of Krishna. It's very esoteric. People, they have very small idea of who is God. They think it's some father up in heaven who gives us bread. And we're talking about Krishna, who is so attractive that even he himself becomes attracted to himself. This is far beyond the conceptions of people who really don't have any idea about who is actually the Supreme. Do we have that book here, Who is Supreme? Do we have any copies of that? Some of my disciples are also writing books, so there's one very good book, Who is Supreme? All scriptural evidence is that Krishna is supreme. And another book, one of my disciples wrote, another one is, I asked him to write this, Muslim Devotees of Krishna. You can distribute that among the Muslims. They may take it. Because Krishna is so attractive that even people who are Muslims by birth, so many of them have glorified Krishna. They like Krishna. And this book has been released, and up to the present day, there are many Muslims who are appreciating this book. So this is, what's the answer to what they call Islamic fanaticism? Then they can join us in kirtan and chant Hare Krishna. We can tell this. This is the religion of pure love for Krishna. Obedience to God is the first stage. That's good that people are talking of obedience to God. We have no, actually on the basic principles, we have no argument with Islam or Christianity or anything. Obedience to God is, that's very good. That's much better than being an atheist or just an apathetic agnostic. But to really know God, then love him. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the acharyas, they all had, we're not saying that their worship of Vishnu is something bad or wrong. Often devotees in India especially, they ask me, well, what should we say to these different Vaishnavas? Say, very good, you're worshipping Krishna, very nice, very good. We shouldn't argue with them. Our argument is not with them. Our argument is with the demons and the atheists and the Mayavadis. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also, when he went to Sri Rangam and to Udupi, he had some discussion. But especially in Sri Rangam, it was on a very friendly basis. It's not the Vaishnavas are not our enemies. That's a very wrong way of thinking. Of course, we should know who is a Vaishnava and who isn't a Vaishnava. I would suppose there are many Gujaratis here, by birth Gujarati, in this birth. And in Gujarat, there's a widely spread misconception about Swami Narayan, but he's not God. It's a complete misconception with no basis in Shastra. And it's only mostly Kedar district Patels and some Kutchi people and this and that. Even in Gujarat, it's not very widely spread. It seems to be quite prominent here in England because the Gujarati community, which is themselves are quite prominent by their diligence and their business acumen. Most of them are Swami Narayan followers. But in Gujarat itself, it's only a small percentage. And these kind of things, they come and go. So many so-called gods, it lasts for some time, maybe. Yeah, when Srila Prabhupada was in America, there was some Guru Maharaji, who people said he was God. I think that cult lasted less than 10 years. Then he became a retired Bhagavan. He got his money and he went back to India. And some cults may go on longer, 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, then it's forgotten. But as I often say, that 5,000 years ago, there was no knowledge of these. Even 500 years ago, no one had ever heard of this. But 5,000 years ago, 5 crore, billion, trillion, zillion years ago, Krishna was accepted as the Supreme Truth. And 5 crore, billion, zillion years afterwards, Krishna will still be known as the Supreme Truth because He is the Supreme Truth. Whereas all these so-called avatars, they come and go, especially in Kali Yuga. There are so many so-called avatars. So bhakti, we want to encourage bhakti wherever it is, but we shouldn't cheaply accept anything to be bhakti which isn't. It has to be based on guru, sadhu, and shastra. Shastra is the center. And all these so-called avatars, there's no mention of them in shastra. So there have been so many great devotees worshipping Krishna. We know about some of them in recent times. When we say recent times, we're not talking about the last 2 or 3 years. Followers of the Vedic culture, when we say recent times, we're talking about the last 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. The Kali Yuga. It's just new. Kali Yuga, just only 5,000 years. But whereas in the Western world, their whole history doesn't even go back that far. So, as Srila Prabhupada, when he was speaking among Indians, he would often exhort, just try to understand the value of your culture. The British, they made such a good job of denigrating Indian culture that the Indians themselves think that it's no good. Kimascharya matav param. When the Yaksha, actually Yamaraj, asked Yudhishthira, what is the most amazing thing in the world? Yudhishthira said, Ahani ahani bhutani gachanti ha yamalayam sheshas thavara itchanti kimascharya matav param. He said that every day so many people, they leave this world, they go to Yamaraj, they die. But those who are still alive in this lifetime, they want to hang on and remain alive. So what is more amazing than this? But I think maybe we can add something to this. What is more amazing that Indian people have such a good culture by which they can go, they and the whole world can be benefited in the highest possible way, and they don't have any interest, or they misrepresent it. Or they think that it's inferior to Western culture. Kimascharya matav param. Even clapping hands like that, it's Western culture. In kirtan. Okay. Yeah, but for expressing appreciation, one should say sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu.
That's the Vedic way. So, I was saying that one, you'd like to come inside, those who are standing there, means all of you will have to move in.
Yeah, can you move forward and let open us? Can Prabhu also come forward, please?
I have to.
Come all the way up.
Please come in, you're welcome. Most welcome in Krishna's house.
Don't leave any space.
Come in and don't go out. Stay. So this Vedic knowledge, this Vedic knowledge and the Vedic culture, there's no comparison. It's the best. It's the highest, because the basis is understanding who we are. But in the Western world, they don't even understand that we're spiritual beings and that we go from body to body. They don't even understand our reincarnation, the most basic thing. So the Vedic culture. At the present time within our movement, there's some kind of idea that we have to westernize all this Krishna consciousness. And maybe they want to dress Krishna in jeans and a t-shirt. But Krishna, he doesn't dress like that. You can chant Hare Krishna in jeans and a t-shirt. You can do, but it's not how Krishna himself dresses. So it's a whole culture. It's a whole great culture. Vedic culture. Some people say Hinduism, some people say Sanatan Dharma, some people say Indian culture, but the best, most accurate term, well, Sanatan Dharma is also good, but Vedic culture. Sanatan Dharma, but that means Vedic culture, means Veda. Veda means based on knowledge, clear knowledge. And what do the Vedas say? Vaidesha sarvera hameva vedaha. It's within Vedic culture. Demigod worship. That's there. But ultimately the Vedas point to Krishna. Even we find in the Bhagavatam the personified Vedas. They pray Krishna. They worship Krishna. And Krishna is the goal of all Vedic knowledge. And there have been so many great devotees. We're so fortunate. When Srila Prabhupada came, he wasn't just one individual. In Bhagavatam, Krishna says, Sarva Deva Mayo Guru. The Guru is the embodiment of all the demigods, all the great personalities. So many great personalities. Before Srila Prabhupada, I just jotted, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, Jayadev Bhavabhuti, Chandidas, Vidyapati, they all glorified Krishna by poetry. And before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhavendra Puri, Ishvara Puri, these are the big names, the well-known names, but there are so many great devotees, we may not even know their name. Just like we know, at the present time, Srila Prabhupada, but there are so many, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, there are so many great devotees who are chanting Hare Krishna. Their life is dedicated to Krishna. They may not be very well known. Probably they'll pass away. No one will, of course, a devotee doesn't think I should be well known. But I'm just making the point that there's so many great devotees in the world who we may not even know about. We just know the names of the main ones. I've just been reading a book by one of my godbrothers, Patit Pavan Prabhu, who when I first joined the movement, he preached to me so much and gave me the knowledge which he had received from Prabhupada. So I was just reading a book by him as we were driving up here, and I I arranged for one of his books on Chanakya Niti to be published. So that's also available here. So there are so many devotees. Probably most of you, maybe all of you, never heard of him. But they're like that. There are so many devotees whose lives are dedicated to Krishna. Great personalities. There's a great... There's Madhavendra Puri, Ishwara Puri, then came Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so many great devotees. Brahmanda Tarite Shakti Dhare Jane Jane. Every one of them can deliver the whole world with Krishna consciousness. They're all so powerful. We can just read the names or remember the names of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. They're all great personalities. What's great about them? They're all devotees. You may say, well, what's great? Did they build big temples? Did they have many disciples? They may have done or may not have done. But the fact that their life is dedicated to Krishna, that is the point that makes them great. It's not building temples in and of itself doesn't make one a great personality. But it's the spirit of devotion to Krishna in which it's done. Of course, so many devotees have, especially in South India, we see so many big, especially in Tamil Nadu, so many big temples which are constructed in a spirit of devotion. So I'm not saying building temples is not a great act to do, but the point is everything should be done with devotion to Krishna, and that makes one great. So I'm saying there's so many devotees in our sampradaya, six Goswamis, a very famous Swarup Damodar Goswami. We have the name of 3.5 associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, most intimate. The half is Madhavi Devi, female. Probably given as a half is not explained, because as a female, she probably couldn't associate so much with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's a sannyasi. But we don't know much about them, but they're such great devotees. They've purified this earth by their presence. And in our sampradaya, we have six Goswamis, Krishadas Kaviraj Goswami, who compiled the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are many devotees in our movement, unfortunately they don't read the books. And we try to inspire them to read the books. When they read their books, they think, oh, it's like I was in Krishna consciousness, but I didn't really know. It's opening a new world for me just to read those books. To read Gita and Bhagavata. Then when you come to Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's again opening a new world. It's the realm of Krishna consciousness that Krishnadas Kaviraj comes, brings to us by giving us Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his pastimes, his philosophical understanding of him, his philosophical teachings. So these, then Narottam Das, Vishwanath Chakravarti, then in recent times, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in between also, Baladev Vidyabhushan, Jagannath, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I mean, such great devotees. Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur. All their teachings, all their blessings, all their purity, all their potency, all their bhakti, all came with Srila Prabhupada. It's all invested in Prabhupada, and he gave to us. So Srila Prabhupada, he is the embodiment of this great Vedic culture, especially the essence of that Vedic culture. And Srila Prabhupada, he was empowered by Krishna. Tomorrow is Vyasa Puja, so why am I speaking like this now? Well, it's not ritual, it's not some rule. When we speak about Krishna, we have to speak of Prabhupada, because without Prabhupada, we wouldn't know Krishna. You may say that's especially true of the Westerners, but it's true of the Indians also, because mostly there was not much interest in Krishna before Prabhupada revived that. Definitely it was there, but not to the extent that it is now. Prabhupada revived that in India. And mostly the Indians, so many misconceptions, all mixed up with Mayavad, rubbish, bogus ideas. So Srila Prabhupada gave the clear understanding, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to surrender to him. All the demigods They're all servants of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada gave us Krishna. And even the Vaishnavas of Bengal and Orissa, that culture was going on, kirtan culture. But it's very difficult for the, mostly the Bengalis, it's very difficult for them to give up eating fish. Somehow they're addicted to that. So mostly the Vaishnava gurus in Bengal, they themselves eat. They wouldn't instruct their disciples not to eat. Prabhupada gave us the clear philosophy and clear practice. This is another of the great gifts of Srila Prabhupada. We often think Prabhupada gave the holy name, he gave this Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam. Another great gift he gave was four regulative principles, without which you can't be pure, you can't understand Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gave us the perfect knowledge of Krishna, the perfect method to come to Krishna. And he gave us Krishna. Directly Krishna. Just as Vasudev manifested Krishna from his heart, so Srila Prabhupada manifested Radha Gokulananda, Jagannath Subhadra Baladev, Radha Landanishwara, Radha Madan Mohan in Germany, Radha Madhava, who is now in Mayapur, Radha Govinda in New York. These are all very dear to Srila Prabhupada. Krishna manifesting himself in various places. And Srila Prabhupada gave Krishna to his disciples to worship. This is something, it's actually quite amazing, unheard of, and unimaginable, that the deity is to be worshipped by pure brahmanas. And Srila Prabhupada went to the Western countries, where even to go to the Western country, you become so contaminated that even if you are a first-class brahmana by birth, then you're rejected. You're now mlecha, finished, no more brahman. And Srila Prabhupada went to the Western countries and made these people the most fallen, the furthest from Krishna, and he gave them the qualification to worship Krishna. This is unimaginable. Now that's another thing. It's also becoming accepted more and more in India that brahmana is by activity. Prabhupada always stressed this point. By his qualities, by his, not by birth. People are seeing that. So many brahmanas by birth, they're eating meat, or then they have no particular spiritual interest. And those who are actually following, they may be from Western countries, or even we're giving brahminical initiation even to people from tribal background. They're real brahmanas because they're devotees of Krishna and they're following principles very nicely. So Srila Prabhupada, he gave Krishna to us. Krishna, of course, he's well known in India. Jagannath, Prabhupada gave Jagannath. He's already there in Orissa. Srila Prabhupada gave Jagannath to the Jagat, to the whole world. Krishna is worshipped in different parts of India. I think, as I said, mostly many Gujaratis here. Dwarka is in Gujarat, but more that on that side, in Saurashtra, west Saurashtra side, people, they worship Dwarkadish, but there's more population on the eastern side who would like to worship Krishna as Rancho Rai or Dako. So like that, all over India. In Tirupati, there's Balaji. In Chennai, there's Partha Sarathi, Krishna. In Nathdwara, there's Srinathji. And various places all over India, Krishna has manifested himself and is being worshipped. And Srila Prabhupada came and gave a great boost to this bhakti movement. And here also, everywhere, this bhakti movement is going on. So that we want to bring everyone by books to attract the intelligentsia, to give the proper knowledge of Krishna, by festivals such as this, Everyone will be attracted. Why should people not be attracted? He's very happy. We should invite all the city of Coventry come. Why only just a few people here? How many people are in this room? 70, something like that, I'm guessing. So next year we want, there will be at the festival of Janmashtami in Coventry, there will be 70 people. Right? 70? There'll be 70 people in Coventry, not at the Janmashtami festival.
And we'll
pull them in also. How are you going to do it? You have to do a lot of Harinam, a lot of book lot of prasadam distribution. That's a good tactic. Give them prasadam. Krishna's free love feast. So this should, we want to give this Krishna consciousness. Krishna is no longer only in India. This is not, when we say Indian culture, now it's world culture. Everyone should worship Krishna. Bring everyone. The Vedic message is Sarve Sukhino Bhavantu. Let everyone be happy. It's not Bharatiya Sukhino Bhavantu. Let everyone. Everyone means all living beings, not even all humans. The animals. That we also have to preach. Don't kill the cows. Don't kill the pigs either. They're also living beings. We shouldn't inflict pain on them. Of course, especially we recommend go-raksha, not pig-raksha. And we allow, or at least it's allowed in the Vedic culture, if people are so low class that they like to eat dead bodies of animals, then you eat some pigs, something like that. But actually this is not very good. So there's so much work we have to do. You're listening nicely, you appreciate, but if we tell the average person no more bacon, they won't be very happy. But actually they will be happy if they get something better. What is that something? That is love of Krishna. And that is manifest. Krishna manifests his love through his devotees, through his holy name, as his holy name, through distribution of prasadam. And, yes, sweetness. Vallabhacharya especially, he emphasizes. Madhuradipate rakilam madhuram. Krishna is the Lord of everything, especially the Lord of very great sweetness. So philosophically we have to discuss and try to convince people Krishna is supreme. But the attraction is there also, the sweetness of his holy name, the sweetness of his devotees, the sweetness of his prasadam. Not only sweets, there are other preparations also. Let people be happy. Let people know. You see, we have to first of all tell people about Krishna, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You see, most of you, you're coming from the Bengalis, they will know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But others, even now, they don't know. I actually made a book a few years ago about the summary of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings. The idea is that this should be widely distributed in India, even here. How many people know about Gaurangera Madhur Leela, the sweet pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? This should also be widely propagated. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Premavata, he comes down to give us love of Krishna. We should all, on hearing this, we should all faint or jump in the air with ecstasy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful. He gives love of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada brought that mercy. Tomorrow we should celebrate. Actually, more important than Janmashtami is Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, because we have no entrance to Krishna, only through Srila Prabhupada. So, as a public festival, we can celebrate Janmashtami. But our real success will be Ebe Josh Kushak Tribhuvan, when Srila Prabhupada is widely known throughout all the worlds, his glories, he's given Krishna. Now there's some idea to propagate now Prabhupada, to promote Srila Prabhupada among the common people. But actually, how can they appreciate? They will appreciate some mundane welfare workers, people who feed hungry people and put artificial limbs on people whose limbs are blown off by landmines or whatever, because they're on the bodily platform. To appreciate Prabhupada, we have to appreciate his gift, and his gift is completely transcendental. So it's difficult for people to appreciate how great is Prabhupada, unless they come to the spiritual platform. So we want to glorify Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada will be glorified by the wide spreading of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada wanted to bring about a revolution in human society. It's not meant just for a few people. It's meant for a complete change in human society. Tadvag visargo janata agha viplavaha. Janata agha viplavaha. Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to bring about a revolution in the lives of the sinful public. So Janmashtami, I can request you, make it bigger every year. Bigger and bigger and bigger. Think big. That's one of Srila Prabhupada's mottos. He was one man, not a man, but from external vision. One man, one person. But he had a very big vision. Let the whole world be happy in Krishna consciousness. So, Janmashtami, there are other festivals also. Bring more and more and more people. Even if they only come and take prasad, it's a beginning. Mostly at the festival, prasadam time, more people come. Not only on festival days, on any day. All right, it's a beginning. That's something. Then if we have, just like you have dramas, kirtan, gradually people will be attracted. Bring them to Krishna. Bring them to Krishna. Whoops. Where do Mayavadis and worshippers of different demigods go at the time of death? Well, that's why I'm telling you to read Bhagavad Gita. It's very clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita. Does anyone know? Can anyone say the verse? I know you know. You don't know? Yanti deva vrata devan. Those who worship the demigods will go to the demigods. They all have different planets. Of course, even to go to the planets of the demigods, you have to worship purely. If you're worshipping a demigod, but you're doing sinful activities, then you may go to hell also. In the Ishopanishad, it's stated that those who worship the impersonal, they enter into darkness. But it's quite complex because people may be worshipping the impersonal and different demigods, and ultimately it depends on at the time of death. Yang yang vapi smaran bhavam tyajyanteva kalevaram tam tame vaita konte asata tad bhava bhavitaha. What we think of at the time of death, depends on the consciousness that we have accumulated throughout life. According to that, we will take our next birth. And it can be very complicated, because human psychology is very complex. So as a general statement, those who worship demigods go to demigods. That's a general statement. But it's and Krishna says, Madhyajino piyanti mam, those who worship me, they come to me. So better worship Krishna. All this knowledge you'll get, you read Srila Prabhupada's books, you'll be amazed, as I am still today amazed, how much depth of knowledge. And we're not talking about knowledge like you go to university or something like this. This is Atmagyan, Bhagavat Tattvagyan, the knowledge that really affects us at the deepest spiritual level. It's in a completely different category to anything you'll learn in school, anything you'll get on TV, on Google, or whatever. This is the best knowledge. Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam. Krishna says, this is the king of all knowledge, the most secret of all secrets, the most pure knowledge. And pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukam kartam avyayam. And it's not just some knowledge that you learn something, but practically it manifests in our life. We can experience the happiness that we experience in Krishna consciousness, that is available to that via that knowledge. We can practically experience that. So quite often people ask me how long I've been in this Krishna consciousness movement. Now I can say 40 years I was initiated. Today is my birthday. I was initiated 40 years ago. And sometimes people ask, on Janmashtami in 1975, I was initiated, first initiation. And then sometimes devotees ask, well, are you happy? Well, you decide. What do you think? Not really. No. She's a very intelligent lady here. What's the reason you say for that? It's the material world. Everything in life is just material. That's not true. Real life is spiritual. Yeah, that's the lamentation. That's the lamentation of a devotee. He also laments in one way. That's there in Prahlad Maharaj's teachings. Naivod vijay paraduryatya vaitaranyas tvadvirya gayanam mahamrita magnachitam. Prahlad Maharaj, he was tortured by Hiranyakashipu. He went through so much suffering, but he said, I don't feel any suffering at all. I feel very happy all the time because I'm always absorbed in thoughts of you. He said to Nrisimhadev, I'm always thinking about your glories. I'm completely happy. But shocetato vimukacetasa indriyata maya sukaya paramudvahato vimurha. But I have one thing which makes me unhappy, seeing all these fools and rascals who are trying to be happy by enjoying their senses. So, I have to say, I'm happy. Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So, it's the order of the guru. You're not allowed to be not happy. Devotees are happy. There's no doubt about it. Krishna consciousness is... This is the real Ananda Marg. Maybe you know, there used to be some group, it's probably still going on, called Ananda Marga. But this is the real Ananda Marga. Paramakorana pahunduijana nitai gora chandra saba avatar sara shiromani kevala ananda kanda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, they're the best of all avatars. Oh, it's on Janmashtami, but we have to say it. Because their path is simply joyful. Simply joyful. You're right, as long as we're in this material world, there are so many difficulties. There's no doubt about it. And as this bag of bones progresses on its journey to destruction, in other words, as we're getting older, we feel that more. How sharir avidya jal, this body is simply full of ignorance. But we're happy knowing that we're not the body, that we're eternal servants of Krishna. So be happy in Krishna's service. There's no happiness in the material world. Absolutely correct. But we can live in this material world and not be in it also by Krishna consciousness. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita. Padma patrami vambhasa. Just like the lotus leaf is on the water, but it's unaffected by the water. So we live in this world, but not affected by it. See, there's so many wonderful teachings in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So take advantage of that. Don't waste your time watching TV, So many useless things people waste their time with. Chant Hare Krishna, read Srila Prabhupada's books, utilize your human form of life in this way. Hare Krishna, I have to go fairly soon. We all have to go fairly soon. Where are we going? Back to Godhead. Chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. I have to move on to Manchester. Before I go, we should have some samples of the books. Can you bring one copy of each of these books?